Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Seth Green, and you are listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark, and I am so hot, I would desperately like a glass of water. Please, please, give me some water.
This is Cindy Preston, and I'm with Mark on Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Melissa Peterman from CMT's The Singing Bee and the television show Reba, and I have to tell you, I just have to get it off my chest, I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi there. This is Faith Roscoe from General Hospital. You're listening to Mark on Somewhere in Vegas. And you better watch out. We know how to find you if you're not listening.
Hi, this is Shannon Egan from Whippet, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hey, this is Lee Allen Baker with Somewhere in Vegas, talking with Mark with a Q.
This is Courtney Cronin. You're listening to Somewhere in Vegas with your host, Mark, and I would make sure to listen every week because he's a sure bet.
Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. I got two tickets to Paradise, and it's, you know what? It's Somewhere in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hi, this is Crystal Kale, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin, and you're listening to Mark Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Miracle Lori from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There are three flowers in a vase, and I'm listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Erin Hill, and you are listening to Mark on Blog Talk Radio and Somewhere in Vegas. Mark is a great guy.
Hi, this is Sean Pulaski. I'm still trying to figure out Mark Pico's sexuality, but I know you're listening to Somewhere Live in Vegas.
Here you go, Mark. I'm sorry. I thought you were she. I'm sorry. Get out of the tent. Let's get out of here.
Hey, this is Lance and Anna from Free Radio. And Anna?
And you're listening to Somewhere in Vegas.
Yes.
My favorite.
You know, that's usually what happens with me. I go to Vegas and I get lost, and so I end up somewhere in Vegas.
Somewhere in Vegas.
But right. I just don't know where it is.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, word.
Get ready. It's going to be hot. It's in Vegas. Check out Mark. Be there or be square.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark the Q. I'm your host. I'm very privileged. Oh, we're doing a special show today because I'm very privileged to have a very talented singer, singer-songwriter whose career has spanned nearly three decades. She is going to be performing in Primm, Nevada coming up this weekend. There's a lot to talk to about. She has had a very interesting life so far, very interesting music career. So without further ado, we've got Amy Holland on the line. How you doing, Amy?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How's it out there in California right now? I know it's quite hot down here.
Well, it's warm for Santa Barbara, but not as warm as you are.
Well, at least you don't have to go all the way up here to Vegas for your trip. I mean, Primm's right on the border there as well, so I'm assuming that you're just going to be driving up, huh?
Well, actually, we're flying because then we're hopping on the bus for the rest of the tour, for the rest of this leg of the tour. So we're flying up. We would have driven. We could have done that, but, you know, we're not. So
gotta get to those
outlet malls early, you know.
Get back on the road and start doing a tour again.
I'm sorry. You asked me what now? When did I start?
What's it been like for you to get back on the road?
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? I really never toured on the road with my first records. It's just I did a lot of television and a lot of movie, you know, soundtrack work. So this is really a blast for me because it's almost like my first time in a way, you know. And the band is so fabulous, and they make me feel so welcome, and I actually get to see my husband, which, you know, that's kind of new. And it's all working out. It's really, really fun.
I mean, what's been the biggest thing for you to be able to transition over to kind of doing more stage stuff? I mean, obviously there's a different feel to it, but how's it been for you? I mean, did you do any preps? Did you do any kind of rehearsals going into this tour?
We did. We rehearsed. I can't remember now when it was, but a while back we rehearsed for three straight days, and then we went and did a show in Chicago, a taped thing, a show called Soundstage, And so we, you know, I kind of got to really warm up and get it ready. And, you know, the first couple of shows, I was just kind of getting my sea legs back. And now I'm, it's just total fun. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I
and
mean,
just so talented.
Yeah, I mean, it must be fun for you to be able to go out and tour like this as well. I mean, how's it been? I mean, as you mentioned that you'll be able to see your husband a little bit, but what about the kids? Are the kids coming with you, or are they meeting up on a couple of dates, or how's that going about?
Well, our son, you know, our son is an artist. He's a singer-songwriter, Dylan McDonald. But he, when he's not, when Mike is on the road, that's his day job. He works on the crew, and he's really good. You know, he rides on the crew bus. There's no perks. We make him work. He's doing great. And then when he's home in Nashville, he's doing his gigs and out of state too. So my daughter Scarlett comes to a lot of the gigs, but she is working in Santa Barbara, so she can't always go. And she's our little gypsy. She's about to go do something, take some workshop over in Japan. So, you know, she's always doing something. She's been living with us, but she's about to move out. She's bought a house, so... Anyway, I get to see my – I make sure I see my kids often.
Well, I mean, so. That's great to hear. I mean, you know, now, what instrument does Dylan prefer most, the keyboard, or does he like the guitar better?
He never did play keyboard. He started on bass, and he's on guitar now. And that's sort of where he sits with it, and, you know, it works for him, and – his writing has just really gotten, I'm proud of him. I'm really proud of him. I know I'm his mom, but I'm picky. But I think he's got his own sound. He doesn't sound like his dad, which, I mean, not that it would be bad if he did, but he just doesn't, you know, he has his own thing. I'm really, really proud of him.
And there's always benefits to having both parents of being in the biz for so long, because obviously there's things that you've learned as well. I mean, have you learned a lot from him in terms of what's going on? Because, I mean, the business has changed so much since you and Michael had started back in the day.
Yeah.
And now it's just so much different.
Yeah, well, he just, you know, I have all these Apple products that I don't know how to use. And he just, you know, scratches his head and looks at me. And I'll say, Dylan, help me. And he'll go, Mom, you just have to sit there and play with it and figure it out. So it's like, you know. They're sweet, but they don't have any patience. I already showed you how to cut and paste. I said, well, I don't know how to do it. So anyway, they're fun. They're great kids. We're really blessed to have such good kids.
Well, tell me a little bit about your childhood. I mean, who were some of the people that you listened to back in the day?
Well, definitely the Beatles, Aretha Franklin, then Joni Mitchell and Crosby, Stills and Nash. I wanted to be a lady of the canyon with Joni Mitchell, and she was my queen. I just think she's wonderful, and so I listened. You know, I listened to a lot of Motown music. I grew up in New York, and my dad was a mastering engineer for Mercury Records, and so he mastered a lot of the Four Seasons records and a whole bunch of them. And so he would bring home these big, thick, you know, test pressing records of what was going to be coming out. So that was always fun. You know, I got to hear a lot of stuff before it came out, and it was just all, you know, music has always been in my family and around us. So I'm sorry, what was that?
Did you ever hang out in the studio with your dad?
I went to work with him a couple of times. I was young, but I didn't really hang out while he was working. I think, you know, he was just real focused on his job. And when he would let me go into the city, boy, I was ready to bolt out of there and go and, you know, run around, because I wasn't easily allowed to do that at that age. So I didn't hang out a lot, but I did go to his, I went to his office. I just didn't. No, we didn't have a real studio experience together, but he did get to come to a couple sessions that I did on my first album, and that was really fun, because I could see he was so proud, and it was exciting for him. And I get that now because of Dylan, you know, and one day I sang backgrounds on one of Dylan's albums, and I was in the vocal booth, and Dylan was at the board with the engineer, and he said, okay, Mom, sing that line here. So I sang it, and the producer turned around and he goes, Dylan, would you stop singing? I'm trying to hear your mom. And he said, I'm not singing. That's my mom. So, I mean, it's not like we sound alike, but we obviously, you know, have the same genetic makeup. So, but it, you know, that was a blast, actually, having my son, you know, the guy that I, you know, little Chucky that I chased around when he was little, you know, was telling me when to come in. It was really fun.
Now, you moved from New York all the way to Los Angeles, I mean, as a teenager. What was it like for you? Because that's almost, you know, it's almost night and day. I mean, New York versus L.A. is really kind of different from each other. But what was it like for you to have moved there?
Well, you know, my sister was 7 years older, and she lived in L.A., and I would go out for summer vacations and stay with her. And my first trip to California, I knew this is where I wanted to live. And I was fortunate enough, her roommate was dating one of the Beach Boys, and he heard me sing when I was 15 and played some of my stuff for the other Beach Boys, and they were interested in signing me to their label. But so I went home and I worked the program big time with my parents, like, I got to go. And they're smoking pot in the bathroom at school. You got to let me go. You know, and anything. I was manipulated the hell out of them. And they let me come out. And my mom came with me. And I got my first record deal when I was 16. And so I was hanging around with publishers and people like that. And just my sister and I were writing together. And it was so exciting. It was so much fun. You know, we lived sort of close to Sunset Strip, and, you know, the characters. I mean, it was just another world for me from where I grew up in Palisades, New York, you know. So little, you know, kind of a sleepy little town outside of New York City, but, you know, far enough to where you didn't feel the city. So it was just a real exciting, fun time, you know. It wasn't too edgy back then. It was just really fun.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and obviously the album scene was either New York or Los Angeles. I don't know. Did your father ever take trips out to L.A. to do any work?
No. He stayed on 57th Street. That was his gig, and he didn't travel for his work. So, you know, that part of the business I didn't get introduced to until I met Michael, or started, you know, I met Michael when I was 16, but when we got together and he was touring, that was my first experience with all that.
You know, you said your mom moved out with you. Did that kind of keep you kind of grounded out there?
Absolutely not. I wasn't a wild child, but, you know, she was doing her mom thing. It was like, she wanted to support what I wanted to do. But I was still young, and they wanted to keep an eye on me, and it worked out just fine. And then, unfortunately, my dad had an accident. He was going to come out and have Christmas with us the year that I moved out here. And he was Christmas shopping and fell on the ice and broke his hip. And so my mom had to go back and take care of him. And I was so settled with my sister and her apartment and everything that we just kept that situation going, and my mom stayed back with my dad, and the family was mortified. But my sister was, you know, she was very mature for her age, and so, you know, she wasn't letting me get away with anything. So,
what was the first musical instrument you learned how to play?
The first and only was guitar. I got my first guitar when I was 12. And I started to try to write songs, and I didn't even know what the chords were. So I made up words for the chord, names for the chords that weren't even right, but I had my own language, you know. So my mother could read music because she was such a great musician, but I could not read music. Sorry if there's a beep. My son's calling through. I'm going to ignore him. But anyway, I played guitar, and when I moved to L.A., I was surrounded by so many unbelievably talented people that I stopped playing, and I really regretted it because it was my vehicle to write songs without depending on other people. So I keep saying, okay, I'm going to take it up again. And 1 year for Christmas, Michael gave me a really beautiful white electric guitar, and I thought, that's cool, you know. But I, you know, the kids took it and broke the neck, and, you know, they were having their band. Dylan had his band, and so I just never really picked it up again. And then I started writing about 8-9 years ago with Michael's guitar player, Bernie Schiavelli, and another incredibly talented man, especially lyricist, John Goodwin. And, you know, so we just had a routine where Bernie would sort of, John would show up with some lyrics, I would show up with a melody and some lyrics, and Bernie would play some chords, and we would just, it just worked out. We have a nice little writing team when we get together. It's fun. But I do wish that I could have that on my own and not depend on somebody else, you know? So one of these days I may pick one up.
Well, here's an interesting question. I've asked this of many a musician. Have you named your guitars at all?
No, I didn't have, I really didn't have it long. I mean, I don't remember. That's a long time ago. No, I didn't name my guitar because all my friends that kept playing, they named theirs, but I didn't keep playing. So no, I didn't name it.
Yeah,
it was actually,
enough,
it was from
female...
Sears. It was called a Zimgar. So that's all I remember.
A lot of the female musicians I've had on here, with the exception of one, has not named their instruments. However, a lot of the guys have. So it's kind of an interesting thing. So, so I won't be surprised if Michael has a couple of names for a couple of his instruments. So.
I don't know. You know, he's playing so many things now. I don't know if he has time to think of names. Every time he comes home, he's playing some other instrument, you know, whether it's accordion or banjo or, you know, it's just he's playing guitar a lot on stage now, too. There's one song that he featured me on his new album called Hail Mary. The album's called Wide Open, but the song I sang on is called Hail Mary. And he's playing guitar on that on stage. And it's really fun. It's just a whole other thing for him, but he's, you know, he's really good. And he just, when he goes for something, he goes all the way. He sits and plays through every TV show. I don't even try to watch anymore. He just sits there and he plays. I said, oh, that's how you get good. It's called repetition. Okay. So he's taught me a lot.
Yeah. I mean, what was it like for you that first time to go in front of a camera and perform? What was that like for you?
Oh, I was mortified. I had horrible stage fright. Some people don't. I really did. And I had stage fright for a long time, and it was very intense. But it's funny. It's not funny, but I got kind of really ill, a few years back. And for some reason, when all my treatments and everything were over, I was over the stage fright. I guess I thought, if I can do that, I can do this. And now I just go out there and, you know, I don't care if my kids are laughing at me or whatever. I just have a really good time. I have a real good time. The other female singer that's singing with Mike is so incredibly talented, Drea Renee. And she's welcomed me to the backgrounds. And, you know, she's teaching me a lot. And it's just a great group of people.
Yeah, I mean to have gone through, you know, such a serious illness, and then maybe that kind of got into your head that, you know, if I can get through this, I can get through anything, pretty much, you know. I'm pretty sure that's
you know, consciously, I didn't consciously think of that, really. That's just what I kind of that's the only thing I can come up with, that after going through that situation, I felt so grateful and so empowered by being well and making it through that it gave me something I didn't have before. I don't know if it was guts or you know, I don't know what it was, you know, but for some reason, you know, of course I get stage fright sometimes, you know, if I haven't done TV for a while or something like that, but it's all been good. It's all been fun. And, you know, you get to meet so many fun people like you and, you know, people that interview you and musicians, and, you know, that doesn't make me nervous. That makes me happy.
Yeah, it's great to be able to see that. I know there's been such a span between a lot of these albums. I mean, your newest album here, I mean, it was a good 9 years since your last album in 2008, am I correct?
I think so. Maybe eight, 9 years. Yeah. It was a long time. But there was still, physically a lot going on with me. And so I was well enough to do it. But also Bernie was touring so much with Mike, and Bernie Schiavelli produced the album. So that's one reason it took a long time. Between some of my health issues and his touring with Mike, the album took a long time to make. And then we finally got it out, and we didn't really have any kind of infrastructure as far as marketing or anything with that one. But people really have enjoyed it and somehow found it. We're real proud of that record, Miracle River. It was really, really fun. And Judy Collins cut that song last year, and that was that was really exciting for us. So
What's it like for you to go back in the studio and to be able to sit down and work and just work with some really great musicians, have that opportunity to work with great musicians again and just sit down and really start to write songs and kind of do it all over again?
Well, it's such a different experience for me now, I guess, just because the years have gone by and just my life experiences. And I love the studio. Some people don't, and I do. I love working in there, and I love watching it come together and, having the different musicians come in. And I've just been so lucky that every time I've done a record, I've just had great people, and we just seem to have so much fun. There's so much laughter and so much respect for each other, doing the project. And so my doing it again and being in the studio again and performing again, it just feels really right. It feels really good.
Yeah. Now, is it a situation where sometimes you do write? I mean, I talked to quite a few of these musicians, and
sure,
they say that they go and they bring a notepad with them and they're writing lyrics all the time. Is that like you? Do you always try to carry something around to be able to get some lyrics down?
I always have something with me, and there are times that I'm real prolific and things just come out of me, and sometimes I have to pull over on the side of the road and write something down or whatever, or I'll be humming a melody when I come home from a rehearsal with the guys that have been these two guys that I was in a band with 35 years ago. We're rehearsing again, so it's just fun.
Do you ever go back in some of those old notebooks and read some of the stuff, and maybe you get inspiration from that?
Yeah, I have found old, because I'll start. I'm one of those people that starts a journal every year and goes three pages and doesn't fill it in. So I kind of have books like that laying around with lyrics in them. And every now and then I'll find one and go, I've got to work on that. And there was one, I can't remember what song it was. It might have been on the last CD, Miracle River, song I wrote about my daughter called My Little Rebel. And that was a song that I had started, and lyrically it was a little bit different. And John Goodwin came in, and he's just such a brilliant lyricist that I let go of my ego and thought, well, the song doesn't have to be exactly what I set out to do, because it's coming out great. So it's gonna be what it was meant to be. So you never know how things are gonna morph when you sit down and write a song. We've had days where we sit there and we're scratching our head, and other days where, it just pours out. So, it's a fun process. I love writing, co-writing. I just love it.
What's probably the fastest song that you've written?
The fastest song we've written, that's a good question. Miracle River came really fast, because John came to the house one day and he had about six pages of lyrics with him. And Bernie and I looked at all of them and we both went, we're writing this one. We want to do this one. And it's just, he started playing chords and I started singing and it just happened. So, it, you know, that's probably one of them that came out pretty fast. And then also on my new CD, Light on My Path, there's a song called Impossible Love. And I had a lot of the lyrics and some melody already when I met with them. So that one went pretty quick too. And you know, we were real happy with that one. Because we only, on this record, I worked with the producer, Fred Mullen. And Fred and I had started a record 30-something years ago. And then I got pregnant with my son, Dylan. And so we had a couple songs in the can. And we had saved a couple songs. Well, I mean, we had some songs we wanted to do. And what we wound up doing was we wound up recording a couple of the songs that he brought to me 35 years ago, which was really interesting, and no one had recorded them. So we did that, and it was, you know, working with Fred was a great experience, too. He's an old friend, and he's a hoot and a gifted producer. So, but those, you know, I'd say those two songs, you know, that I can think of came out pretty quick.
And I can only kind of imagine what those songs would be like probably back then versus what they are now. I mean, like I said, the technology is a lot different. You know, things change in terms of, you know, thought processes and, you know, the way that...
Right. Life experiences, so even, you know, they change. Life experiences will change a lot in your writing, too. And, I don't know. I feel like I have more freedom now, and I always did have it, but I didn't know how to access it. And so, you know, I'm not afraid of looking goofy or making a mistake or, I mean, you know, I don't want to do it on TV, but you know, there are times that I just, you know, I'll go for something and it may not be something that I'm going to be able to do, but I don't mind trying, you know, you don't know till you try.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, you're on this tour now. I mean, you're starting up in Prim. And how many dates are you doing for this tour?
Well, I'm not sure how many days. It's about a three-week leg on this one. And then we're doing a festival called Kaboo, and that's the only gig we have in September. Then October, November, there's a lot more dates. So... I just actually got the itinerary today. I haven't even seen it. So I know that this run is going to be a lot of West Coast and the Northwest. There's one in Colorado, Nevada, obviously. So when I was out with him last month, it was mostly East Coast. But this time, you know, we're on the other coast, so a little closer to home.
Yeah, you know, it's great. I mean, like I said, you can go home and see Michael, you know, every so often as well. So, it'll be pretty interesting to see that. I'm trying to pull up the tour right now to see what dates are posted up on here. So, Washington, California, and all that as well. Is this the first time you've been? Is this the first time? I lost my question. But anyway, it'll be interesting.
Join the club.
The store in this West.
I'm sorry. What I talked over you? What'd you say now?
It's interesting. It's interesting. That you're going out on the tour in the West. You were at the East Coast this last time, and then now you're going to the West Coast this time as well. I mean, it's kind of pretty cool.
It's really cool. Well, you know, I have friends all over, and when we were just in Massachusetts, I got to hang out with my very first best friend from kindergarten. I mean, that was so cool. And it was like we never left, you know, it's like we took off where we left off. I don't think I'd seen her since I was 12 years old or something, you know? So we had a hoot, and she came to the show with her husband. It was an outdoor venue. It was a beautiful night. It was at Tanglewood in Massachusetts. And, you know, we have so many friends now around because of, you know, people becoming, you know, a lot of the fans turn into friends. And so you go into these towns and you have friends there that you made along the way. And really interesting, really fun people, kind people that you meet every year. And so you kind of see the same, some of the same people every year, and it's just really fun.
Yeah, I want to mention people can follow you on Twitter at Amy Holland, Amy Holland Music, and then also on Instagram. You can take a look at some of the behind-the-scenes stuff at Amy Holland Official. I mean, how's it been? Have you been getting a lot of reaction from a lot of the fans on social media?
Actually, yeah, it's funny. You know, I have a lot of internet airplay over in Europe and Scandinavia. And there's one of the DJs in Brazil, and there are three in France, and they want me to come over there so bad, and they play one or two songs in their format every day. So, I mean, I'm on there every day thanking them, you know, for every play, because I'm so grateful, you know, and that they like the music, that they're playing it that much. And I'm up there with people like Steve Picaro and Boz Skaggs and Michael and Don Henley. And, you know, and then Bernie Chiarvelli does his own records too. So, you know, I have a lot of my friends on there. So to be up there with my peers and my friends, and it's pretty exciting. You know, I don't mind admitting that.
Well, maybe if Michael does an international tour, you can tag along and maybe get to maybe do some little intimate gigs, or maybe just do some radio while you're out there.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's looking like we might be going to Japan. It's pretty definite for December, and we're hoping to go to Europe in the fall. So that's going to be really fun, because a lot of people I've been connecting with and meeting online, I'll get to meet in person, and that'll be fun. So, you know, that have been very supportive of this record.
Then you get to see Scarlett's living for how many months?
Yeah. Well, no, she's only doing her workshop for a week, but she's staying away for a month. She's going to Thailand too. So,
okay.
But she just bought a house, so she doesn't want to be gone too long. And she knows we'll steal her dog. We're in love with her dog. So Mike wants to sue her for the dog when she moves out. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so make sure you guys check it out. I believe the tour dates are probably going to be on your website, but you can probably check out Facebook and Twitter as well as to what dates you guys will be doing, because you said you just got the list. So hopefully that'll be
right. And also the dates are up. The dates are up on Michael's website, michaelmcdonald.com. You click on tour and you can see where they all are. If anybody's, you know, looking for them, that's where they are right now. I have a more detailed itinerary they just sent to me. I hadn't seen it yet. So, but we're playing some fun places. I mean, some of my dear friends are along the way. So it's just, that makes it even more fun, you know, and you know, your friends are in the audience and, you know, cheering you on and stuff. And it's just fun. I know I keep saying that it's just fun, but you know, it really is. I just, at this age, I've raised my kids and I'm really content with my life. And this is just whipped cream and a cherry on top right now.
Yeah. You know, yeah. It's so much like, you know, you have you know, a second life or something like that, where, you know, you're kind of reinventing. I don't say you're reinventing yourself, but you're really getting a second lease on life, as it were, in terms of your
Definitely.
Career. So it's great to be able to see that as well, too. So
it
yeah,
is,
I mean,
and I tried different types of genres of music on this album. I did some jazz and, you know, a few different things that I hadn't really kind of gone near before, and really, really enjoyed it. It's just, you know, it's been a great ride.
Yeah. If you guys put Michael McDonald tour dates at the top on Google, you'll be able to find all the dates that
right
that are already on there, which is really convenient. So yeah.
Right.
So yeah,
and we're gonna try to put something of mine from the new record somewhere in the show when we feel that it's an appropriate time. Right now, he's been traveling a lot with Boz Skaggs, and I know he's going to be touring with Mark Cohen
and the next leg, I think. But we're gonna. There's a song called Gravity from my CD that David Crosby and David Pack of Ambrosia sang on with me, and we're gonna try to work that into the show if we can. You know, it's a little more of a spacey ballad, so we just have to, you know, pick the right audience, pick the right place in the show, because Mike's show is, you know, his music is his music, and I don't. You know, I don't begin to be able to go there. So, you know, I do a different thing, but somehow it works. And, you know, we've been having a lot of fun singing together. We did a whole lot of benefits last year and just going, what are we doing? You know, we're sitting around the house. Why don't we work up some songs? So we've been doing that and it's been fun.
Yeah. I mean, one last question. You had a song on the Scarface soundtrack. What was it like for you to have that song? I mean, it had a second life in terms of, I think one of the Grand Theft Auto games had your song on it.
Well, you know, at the time, I didn't write the song. People think I wrote it. I didn't. It was Giorgio Moroder wrote it. Moroder, I think that's how you say it. It was really cool doing the gig. I mean, he kept thinking, don't sing country, because I have this little break in my voice. And it was definitely more of a disco song, but that was really, really fun. But then all of a sudden it became like it had a second life to it, the movie, you know. So all of a sudden I was cool with my friend's kids. I mean, my kids' friends, my friend's kids. Anyway, yeah, them too. But a lot of their friends were like, your mom sang in Scarface. So all of a sudden there was this, you know, I had this level of respect. It was fun.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I really look forward to it. I don't think you guys have any dates here physically in Vegas, so but I'd love to be able to catch a show at some point if Michael
is
coming up.
Oh, I hope you
do. So, well, first of all, congratulations on getting back on the road, and
Thank you.
I really, you know, I kind of look forward to seeing how everything goes with you and you know, this new album and all that as well, and. We'll keep in touch and see what goes on in terms of it. Maybe you will you'll be able to hit Vegas sometime next year or whatever. So
I really hope so. Yeah, I really hope so. But in the meantime, you know, I know there are downloads and I know that's the new thing. But Steve Picaro, you know, Toto, his daughter Heather Picaro is an incredible artist in her own right, and she did. My album cover, and there's a 14-page color booklet in the CD, even though I know a lot of people don't buy CDs anymore, but people my age sometimes do, and she did a beautiful job. So not only is she an incredible artist herself, but she's artistic and, you know, did all the photography and just, you know, she did a wonderful job. So, and that it's available on CD Baby and iTunes and I don't know, maybe Amazon, I don't know. So. But
I think a lot of people like having that tactile thing, and it's a collector's item. You know, it's really something.
Yeah,
you know, people collect vinyls. You
it
know?
Is. Yeah. Well, Mike just got his new album arrived today, the vinyl, and I'm jealous because I really want to put this one on. I want to put Light on My Path on and turn up some vinyl myself. I just haven't had a chance yet. So, it's exciting. It's very exciting. I'm so excited to be back doing what I love.
Yeah, you know, you're missing that experience, you know, where you have that nice little art. There's just so much art there anymore, and with the new idea of downloadable music, you just miss out on it. So it's great. I mean, I don't think that CDs are going to necessarily die anytime soon, just because people want that tactile experience, even if you do.
I hope not. Yeah, I think one of the cool things about vinyl coming back is album art. You know. I mean, everybody looked forward to the new albums coming out, you know, with all the, you know, with the big, big pictures and everything, you know. So with a download, you don't get that. With a CD, sometimes you don't get a booklet. But I did a 14-page booklet. So I had all the lyrics in there, and Heather took so many beautiful photographs. And she actually did a photograph of a corner of the church we got married in. And it's fun. It's just been the whole project was a labor of love. And I'm just so thrilled that that people are responding the way they are. They just, I've had people calling me out of the blue that I admire in the business and saying, "Oh my goodness, you did a great job." And it just means the world to me. You know, it means a lot to me when anyone says it, but when you get a producer like Ted Templeman, or you get, I'm not going to name names, but when you get people like that calling you and, saying, "Hey, you know, you really did it." I mean, it's pretty exciting. It's really fun.
Yeah, and you can if you want, do want to download it, you go to amyhollandmusic.com, and you can have, you know, all the links are there as well to her social media and all that
right.
as well. So make sure you guys check that out. Amy,
yeah.
It was an absolute pleasure to be able to talk to you this week. And like I said, again, best of luck to you on this tour. And
Thank you, Mark.
Would love to talk to you again. I think we've only scratched the surface. So.
Okay. Well, I look forward to talking to you again. It was really fun and it was a privilege. Thank you for asking me to be on your show.
Oh, not a problem at all, Amy. It was absolutely fun to be able to talk to you and get some nice little jewels out of your life out of there. So I really look forward to our next interview.
Me too, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have
thank
a wonderful
you.
Day.
I'll see you soon.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
Yep, bye.
Take care.
That, my friends, was Amy Holland. That's actually the wife of Michael McDonald. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but I didn't want to because it was her interview, so I wanted to make sure she was really highlighted. But Michael McDonald, really talented individual, they've been married and seen each other for very, very long time. So it's something that you can't see in only Hollywood. So it's great to be able to see that they're so very supportive of each other. And it's interesting. It was interesting. It's just an interview. We'll hopefully get her back on. Hopefully she ends up coming back to actual Vegas to be able to do a thing. But if you guys are near the border, the California-Nevada border, or you want to take a quick trip out to Prim, they're going to be there. Michael, her, and Boss Gaggers are going to be out there on – Saturday. So you guys can check that out as well over at the casino. The Star of the Desert Arena, that's in Prim, like I said, on the border of California and Nevada, so you guys can check that out as well. And like I said, tour dates, just go with Michael McDonald's, look up Michael McDonald tour dates, and that'll be the list of all the dates that she'll be back up singing for Michael and maybe doing a couple songs from her album there, so make sure you guys check that out as well. But it was very interesting as well. I've got quite a few requests I haven't been doing podcasts lately. Things have been kind of busy. By the sounds of it, there's quite a few people that want to be on the show, so I will try to get something taken care of. Maybe we'll do a show on Monday with maybe two or three individuals. So I will let you guys know about that. You can check us out on Twitter at SWIV, on Periscope at SWIV1, at SWIV1 for Periscope, SWIV for Twitter, and somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. You guys can check out some of the stuff there as well. With that in mind, I think we're going to do a show on Monday. There's a lot of people weighing in, and I can actually ink some time that I can actually get some stuff taken care of. So 1 o'clock p.m. on Monday, I think, take a look. I can tell you who it's going to be. Joseph Dolberger, by the sounds of it, is going to be my next guest. Leadership advisor, executive coach, professional industry speaker, and published author. So we'll talk to her a little bit about what she does in terms of athletes and companies and all that as well. So we will talk to her coming up on Monday, and we may have another guest on there as well. So we'll take a look. I'll try to do two, maybe three interviews that day, just since catch up for lost time, as it were. But anyways, follow us on Twitter SWIV at SWIV1 for the Periscope. And then somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. I will talk to you guys Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, for Amy Dolberger, and then we may have another guest as well. So we'll talk to you guys then. Thanks for joining us.